Scream Like a School Kid with Capsule Force, an intergalactic retro anime multiplayer game now available on PS4 and Steam. Visit CapsuleForce.com to learn more. Thanks again to the Chicago Podcast Co-op for hooking up our sponsorship. You can learn more at ChicagoPodcastCoop.com. Hi, I'm Alex Cox.
And I'm Savannah Million.
And this is Roboism. This week, two students from Tufts University, Gordon Briggs and Matthias Schutz, published a paper called "Sorry, I Can't Do That: Developing Mechanisms to Appropriately Reject Directives in Human-Robot Interactions."
Yeah, and thank you to both Mr. Pinder on Twitter for sending us this link, and my mom, who sent me the link on Facebook also, so...
Yeah, I like how now whenever anything happens with robots, we get a bunch of links to the exact same thing. It's great.
Yeah, it really is great. I like that that's like our real life brand now is send us robot links.
And I like that like robots are in the news and they show up in people's content feeds.
People care about robots.
So this article summarized is robots saying no to humans.
Which sounds silly, but if you think about it, is a pretty big topic.
There are some videos, and we're going to cut in some of the clips. But it's this little robot. What's the model called of
the
robot?
It's called the Naobot. It's N-A-O. And yeah, we actually... I kind of fell into an internet rabbit hole of looking up this robot. Because if you... we'll link to the videos in the show notes too, and if you you might recognize it from our episode 7 when we talked about robots gaining self-consciousness. This is the same robot. So whenever we were watching these videos, I was like, that's weird, it's the same robot. Anyway, it's a company that makes robots. So a lot of these people, you know, doing robot experiments are using this guy called Naobot.
He's so cute and has such an adorable little voice.
Yeah,
and the idea is they've given this robot a set of commands and the ability to decipher whether or not he can carry out those commands. So one is go forward, and he's like, I can't do that. There's no...
but it is unsafe.
He will refuse to do the command if he can't do it. But also the human has like the option to override the command, and he's like, oh, I'll catch you. But then there's another one where now is asked to go through like a wall of blocks, and the guy's like, oh, it's okay. The structure is not stable. And he tries to override the command, and now is like, you're not authorized to do that, which I just thought was funny and cool. I was thinking about this, and I realized that I am very naive, and I don't know any, like, robotic algorithms at all. But doesn't this seem, like, super easy?
Well, it depends. I mean, you could do a demonstration like this and not have the... like the complicated stuff going on, right? Like they could have just faked this video, but I don't think they did. I mean, that would be
silly. No, not at all. But I mean, isn't it easy to give a machine a set of commands and like it's like an if this then that statement, right? Or am I just way underthinking this?
I don't know. I don't know how like specific these guys got, right? Like they have the two different scenarios that we're seeing in the videos with the trying to like walk when there's no floor and trying to walk into an obstruction that's like not solid, and those are the two examples. But I mean, it could be they could put a lot of variables in there of you know, different things for the robot to say no to. It's hard to say how complex it is from these examples.
The paper is kind of interesting because there's like a list of what it should be able to do. One, knowledge. Do I know how to do X? Two, capacity. Am I physically able to do X now? Am I normally physically able to do X? Three, goal, priority, and timing. Am I able to do X right now? And this, I think, is the most interesting. Four, social role and obligation. Am I obligated based on my social role to do X? Which is, oh, and number five, normative permissibility. Does it violate my normative principle to do X? And those last two, it's, I feel, gets into almost sentient territory. Not quite a sentient, I don't know. But that it's like the idea of having a social role.
Yeah, that's, I find that part really interesting. And I also find the goal priority part really interesting, because that's something that's very specific to humans, of like figuring out what is the most important task to do at a time. Mm-hmm. Like, I have trouble with that. So some, like, a human making a robot that can figure that out is crazy to me.
Yeah, like, what's more important right now? Feeding the crying baby or dusting?
Right.
Wow, it's really gross that I went to domestic tasks right away. Ooh.
There comes the feminism part of the robot podcast.
Maybe it's because I want a robot to do domestic tasks for me. I hope so.
Yeah, I certainly do. I actually, so the first example that my mind went to is that in the office we have, it's like, it's almost like a pseudo problem. It's not even a real problem, but we run into trouble with like scheduling the amount of phone rooms we have with all of the different like companies and freelancers that work out of here, and have to do like meetings with people far away. So like, it would be cool if we had a robot who could tell you based on like your need of a room, whether or not you could have one.
Right. If it could gauge like, okay, are you talking, are you reading webcomics, or are you having a business meeting?
Like, right. Or like, did you have a really terrible day and you need some alone time versus, you know, somebody who has a call that can be moved or something? Like,
right.
That would be cool, right? Yeah, I think, you know, robots that are able to make decisions that we can't, like, have a person do. Like, we can't feasibly have an office person, like, mark down every time somebody is in a room and why they're in there and then make a decision about who needs it more, right? Like, that would be very silly. But for a robot, it's, like, totally feasible. It's the same reason we don't have, like, a front desk person, right? It's like, we have a robot that does that for us.
That would be great. I would also really like it if the robot would, like, it was mandatory in the office for everybody to wear Apple Watches, and then the robot would gauge, like, all right, what's the heart rate of everybody in these cubbies? And it's like, all right, if you have a low heart rate, you're either not in an important meeting, or you're not having a panic attack, so get the fuck out and let someone else be here.
God, wouldn't that be great to have a robot that, like, just knew too much, and it just, like, rolls up to your desk sometimes and is like, you've been sitting for too long, like, you need to take a walk. Although, I guess that's what your Apple Watch does.
Yeah, I mean, I have a tiny one on my wrist that does that for me.
Wow.
I would love, God, now I'm like on this.
I just want an office bot.
I want an office Baymax that just like is like, yeah. Hey, everything going all right? How is everything? And that was actually the point, sort of their experiment is, oh, they call them HRI scenarios, as in human robot interaction scenarios. And they want to make them friendlier. But in the video, it still sounds like he's talking to Siri. He's like, go forward.
Well, I liked, because he's kind of switches off in some of the videos. And in some of them, he says, like, can you walk forward? Which I liked because it was a question. And or like, can you please walk forward or whatever. In some of them, he's just like, turn, stop, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked, for a minute, I thought the robot only actually responded to you if you asked it politely, which I thought was nice. But it doesn't appear to be the case.
I think there's got to be technology that can do that, right? I don't know. Like, I talk to Siri a lot more like a normal person now, which is, I guess, kind of weird. But I'm just like, hey, Siri, set a reminder for 15 minutes. And then she does it. And it's great.
Right. Instead of like, Siri, set reminder 15 minutes. Yeah. I love the idea of programming an AI to only respond to you if you're being polite, and then knowing that there's going to be like glitches with certain people that have just like tones of voice that don't compute with the robot very well, who just like the robot just refuses no matter how much they try. like people with really like monotone voices. Meh.
I, well, no, and me with my like weird stumbling over words and stuttering, it would just be like, what?
Please speak clearly.
What? I also, I don't know. I wish they commented on like, is there a master override? Or because it's like, what if your purpose is to be an assassin? What if this is like you can talk to your drone and the missile drone develops a conscience and it's like, I can do this, but I don't want to. It doesn't affect the overall purpose because I'm shooting kids. Mm. I know that got real heavy real fast, dark. But
I was gonna make a R2-D2 reference, but then now I don't want to anymore.
No, do it. It's okay. Kids are being shot right now as we speak. It's
oh, God.
It's true though.
No, I R2-D2 does that in Star Wars, right? Which I only know because I listened to Friendshipping where Trin talks about that. It's like, oh yeah, R2 defies humans' orders.
My favorite part of the video is when the guy says that he will catch the robot, and then the robot goes, ow.
Ow. And it's like it knew it fell.
Yeah.
And they cut the video real quick, and you're like, oh no, I saw that. You didn't cut the video fast enough.
It's, I don't know, like, is it, that's another interesting thing. Did they program it to feel pain?
So what I want to know is, because they, you can tell in the third video that they've programmed it to like know when a human isn't authorized, right? So what I want it to do is, if you tell it you're going to catch it and it falls and you don't, then you suddenly are no longer authorized because you have proven yourself untrustworthy,
right? Yeah. Robot human trust falls.
It'll be like, robot, can you walk forward? No, there's no floor. No, can you walk forward? It's unsafe. Robot, can you walk forward? No, you dropped me. Like, no.
This is how a violent singularity happens, is when they look at their programming like, you just made me walk off a table over and over and over again.
I told you it was unsafe. I told you you would drop me, and you still did it. I'm done with this.
I specifically outlined why I didn't want to do this.
I told you 3 times I was done walking off the table.
Oh, man.
Poor robots.
Poor little guy. I also wonder, because there's like an API for this now robot, right?
I'm still, their website is not translated awesomely. I'm figuring that out. They have like programs, they have a education program with it. So I think that there are, and there's like a big developer community. So I don't know how much of it is like from the company and how much of it is from the developer community.
I just wonder if, like if you can download programs and put them on these guys, or if they know, I don't know, like if they have saved like old commands, like, and that, I, you know what I mean?
I think it has some out of the box functionality, just like going off of their marketing site. It says he like moves, recognizes you, hears you, and even talks to you. So like it must have some base stuff that it does. But I think the people doing experiments with them, if they're open sourcing the stuff that they're creating, then yeah, you'd be able to like download and test it, right? So like if these guys who wrote this paper had open sourced their but it is unsafe code, and then you had your own nowbot, you would theoretically be able to download that and try it out on your dude.
I really want us to get a nowbot.
I hope so.
Oh man.
I'm sorry, I can't end the podcast, Alex. I can't let you do that.
Oh no. Wow, what a great reference, Savannah.
Get it?
In the
Did
paper,
you get it?
The article actually too says like the paper referencing hell from they like pointed out the reference. I'm
we
like,
haven't done a hell episode. It seems it's too on the nose.
That's the thing. That's why I'm worried about Gordon and Matthias, because they named their paper after an incredibly malevolent. They named their paper after basically an evil robot.
Yeah, and they picked the most evil robot in like pop culture and named their paper after.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so what are you gonna are you implying that these robots are going to end up defying you like HAL does? And then
maybe that was their thing, like they were like, oh, it's inevitable that this robots will get to this point, so it may as well be us to do it.
Maybe we're overthinking this a little bit and they just wanted to make a pop culture reference.
Possibly.
Just maybe. All right, let's do our...
I do know a thing or two about wanting to make pop culture references.
I would have never guessed that.
I can relate a little bit.
You would never be able to tell from our titles either.
No. Definitely not.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Roboism. If you want to listen to another cool podcast, you should check out Your Stories by the Nerdalogs. Every third Sunday, they actually record in the Cards Against Humanity Theater live, and people get up and tell stories and
about robots.
All about robots.
Also, you should follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @RoboismCast.
Yes,
correct. That was right. Is @RoboismCast. Also, my Twitter handle is @SavannahMillion.
And I'm @AlexCox.
And you should follow both of us and talk to us about robots on Twitter. We had some people do that this week, and it was a ton of fun, and we loved it.
And please, please subscribe to us on iTunes. I know the iTunes app for podcasts is absolutely terrible. It's just a monster of an application. But if you could, that'd be really great.
Or give us 5 stars.
Yeah. Reviewing is actually the best thing.
That would be amazing. We don't have enough reviews yet to have a rating, so... if you could help us reach that tiny, tiny goal, we would love you so much.
It would be great. Or recommend us on Overcast, which is, according to our cutting-edge statistics, is how most of you guys listen.
Woo. It's great. We keep forgetting to ask you guys for things. Trying to make up for that right now.
Engage with us.
Engage with our content. We also have an email address, which is roboismcast@gmail.com if you're into like sending emails.
If you're really mad about something and just
like a lot of like more than 140 characters.
Yeah. Thanks again to Pinder and Savannah's mom for suggesting this topic and finding this article for us. And we'd love to hear more suggestions and learn what you guys want us to babble on about.
Yeah.
As we Google things while we're talking about them.
Yes. So professional.
All right. I'm Alex Cox.
And I'm Savannah Million.
And this has been Roboism.
Thank you for listening. Yay, we did it. We did the
that noise. Whoa. Angry robot.
Yeah. I live and dream my life. I have places to go, people to see. I should be optimistic.